My reading tonight is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible, unchangeable word. Can we just pray once again, please? Ask the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, almighty God, we thank thee for where you brought us tonight, to learn of thy wonderful ways, to learn of thy wonderful self. Preacher and hearer alike is learning. Father in heaven, we thank thee that there is no greater teacher than your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are asking, Father God, for the help of the Holy Spirit this evening. We acknowledge, Father, we are nothing but the dust of this earth. We can do nothing, absolutely nothing without thee. Oh, Father in heaven, gracious God, help us now in his precious name. Amen. Amen. The triune God is what we're going to be looking at this evening. The triune God. I just feel that there are so many Christians who don't know where the Father is in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit is in the Holy Testament. We know where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's prophesied throughout the Old Testament of his coming. But we need to learn about the Father in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, because it speaks of the triune God. And the Bible is a constant revelation. The more and more we read it, the closer and closer we come to our Lord. The more and more is revealed in the Bible. Are we seeking the knowledge of God to learn how to live this life? Because we need his help. We need his help in all things. Some of us may be going through major struggles at this moment in time. Family problems, financial problems. There's all sorts of problems I could mention up here. But there is one who can help us in all these problems. And quite often, he is the last person we go to for help. We ask that person. We ask this person. We ask that person over there. We ask that person over there. But what about God, the only one who can truly help us? Tonight, while speaking about the triune God, we're going to be looking at his wonderful power. The power of God. So firstly, what I want us to look at is in the Gospel of John. And this morning, Paul preached on the bread of life, which is a good introduction of what I'm going to be saying tonight. I'm looking at the seven I ams. John 6, verse 35. Says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are these the things that we're hungering and thirsting after? If we have given God our lives, if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, then we should be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We have in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Verse 13, Exodus 16, verse 13. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. This is speaking about the manna that fell from heaven for the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Christ Jesus is that physical manna. Are we truly looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This light is spoken of in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The sun, moon, and stars weren't created till day 4. This is the light of the world. This is Christ's light. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Are we willing to open that door tonight to let the Lord Jesus Christ in? Are we? Are we willing to open the door of our hearts to let the Lord Jesus Christ in? Is that what we're willing to do tonight? Or have we already done it? If we've already done it, then we should be acknowledging that we've got a lot to learn. A lot to learn from the Word of God. A lot to learn from Jesus Christ. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is that good shepherd, and he gave his life for the sheep. You and I are those sheep. You and I are those lost sheep this evening, in here tonight. And Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He gave his all in all for us. Do we truly believe these things? These wonderful, wonderful truths of the Word of God. Do we truly believe these things? We have in John chapter 11. Verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We are dead in trespasses and sins before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are made alive in the Lord. We are made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, have you been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still dead in trespasses and sins? If that is the case, you need to come to the Lord with a truly repentant heart. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. The disciples, the apostles, in those early days, they got criticized by the non-believers, by people who didn't believe, and they would say they're walking in the way, the way of Christ Jesus. Are we walking that way this evening? Are we walking in the truth? Pontius Pilate was looking into the face of truth itself, and he said, what is truth? And then what did he do? He went out and proclaimed to the people, I see no fault in this man. Pilate was looking at Jesus, and he couldn't see any faults in him. I cannot see any faults in the Lord Jesus Christ as I look at his life in the Bible. And neither can you people. No one can lay a sin to Jesus. No one can lay a sin to Christ Jesus' head. No one on this planet. Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the only one we should be worshipping. He is the God-man. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruits. For without me, ye can do nothing. We can do absolutely nothing without the Lord. We can do nothing. But with the Lord, when we placed our faith in him, we become branches. Jesus Christ, the tree of life. We become branches off that tree. We will never die. We've got eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Worshipping and praising the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. That will be glory itself. Why are these words, I am, so important? Why? It was at the burning bush, wasn't it? It was at the burning bush. Exodus 3. The burning bush, where God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The great I am, the wonderful words of our God. The great I am. If we now look at John chapter 10. If there's one thing with me preaching, you've got to learn where the books are. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Two persons of the Trinity here mentioned. Jesus Christ and the Father. Now, let us now look to the Old Testament. Is God called Father in the Old Testament? Is God called Father in the Old Testament? If we look at Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. God is the potter. We are the clay. Are we willing to do? Are we willing to be shaped into the people God wants us to be? A potter can shape anything he wants with the clay. He can shape anything he wants. God can shape anything he wants to with our lives. Look at what he did with the disciples. Look at what he did with the Apostle Paul. Look at what he did with people like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He can do that with you today. He can do that with us if we are willing to let him be the potter, if we are willing to place all our faith in him. Is that what we are doing this evening? Are we placing all our faith in Almighty God? Because he is almighty. God is almighty. And he's almighty to save. Almighty to save. We can look at 1 Chronicles, can't we? Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. This is a prayer of David. This is a prayer of David. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. He's talking about the eternal God, the eternal Father. That's what David is talking about. And he's blessing him. As God blessed David, David blessed God. That's how it works. And now, if we turn to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We were made in God's image. We were made in God's image. Mums and dads in here know when their children do something wrong, they will correct them. You will correct your children for doing wrong. If we come to God in repentance, he will correct us. God will always do the right thing. We might not do the right thing, but God will always do the right thing because he's holy, he's just, he's righteous, he's a God of perfection. He cannot do the wrong thing. It is impossible for God to do the wrong thing. So, when God is writing us for something we have done wrong, are we murmuring? Are we complaining at the Lord? Because a lot of the time, our consciences have already told us we've done wrong. They've already, we know we've done wrong, and yet we will still argue, because it's human nature. There is two natures fighting against each other. We've got the nature of God, the Holy Spirit within our hearts, fighting against our human nature. And there is a constant war. It is a war that's going on. Thankfully, that battle has already been won. Not by you or I, but by Jesus Christ and that finished work of Calvary. And he was the Son in whom the Father delighteth. We can now look at the Holy Spirit as God in the Old Testament. We look at Isaiah 11. This is a wonderful verse. This is an absolutely wonderful verse. Verse 2. Isaiah 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Are we yearning for more wisdom this evening? Are we yearning for more knowledge this evening? God will grant it us. Solomon asked for wisdom, didn't he? It was granted to him. Are we asking for wisdom? But when I say wisdom, I do not mean the wisdom of this world. I mean godly wisdom, godly knowledge. That's what I mean here. This is what the Bible means here. This is what the Word of God means. And we're also told about the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 5, I think it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 5. Do we fear the Lord? Do we fear the Lord this evening? And I don't mean that as if the Lord is some sort of monster. What I mean by that is it's a filial fear. The fear a child has towards his father. And we know earth... Occasionally you get monsters, don't you? But we know most of the time, most of the time, a father loves his child. God loves us when we come to him as children. If we now look at Job. Job 33, verse 4. I acknowledge this is going slightly off the mark. All right, I acknowledge this, but I will come back to it. But I think this is important to mention. Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. We look at Genesis 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That is telling us of God creating, God's creation, not evolution. God's creation. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, 6 24-hour days, and rested on the Sabbath. If we now turn to Ezekiel, when I find it, here we are. Ezekiel 36. Verse 26. This is what the Spirit does to a human being. This is what the Holy Spirit does to us. A new heart also will I give you, and the new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God we believe in. But do we truly believe? Do we truly believe? Let us now look to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Let us now look to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. If we look at Zechariah, Zechariah 12. Verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. I mentioned spirit there, didn't I? Yes? We have spirit and we have Christ. We have two persons of the Trinity in this verse once again. The Trinity is throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. If we turn now to the Psalms, Psalm 22, and I'm sure many of us are familiar with this psalm. Psalm 22, in verse 1, we have those wonderful words from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Jesus Christ was on the cross here, paying the penalty for sin. And he's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not, the Father could not look upon sin. He will not have sin in his presence at any moment of time. And he couldn't look upon his son. He turned his back on his son when Jesus took the sins of the world upon his shoulders. Jesus was so alone there. He'd been with the Father. He's been with him eternally. And for these few hours, Jesus Christ was all alone. No movie such as the Passion of Christ can ever show that suffering, that amount of suffering. It can show the physical suffering, But so many of them went through that physical suffering who were crucified. They all went through that physical suffering. It is the spiritual suffering that Christ went through that no man can ever imagine. No man can imagine what Christ went through on that cross. For the likes of you, for the likes of me, all because of love, all because he loves us. We also have in verse 16, Psalm 22, verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, all around me, surrounding me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. This is talking of the cross. The cross of crucifixion that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for the like of you and I. That's suffering, isn't it? But we also have a glorious one, don't we? Let us turn to Isaiah 6. We've seen some of the Lord's suffering there, haven't we, in this? Now let us turn to Isaiah 6, some of my favourite verses in the whole Bible. I'm just going to read the first three verses here, but we could read the first 10 verses, all right? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What is this train? Well, you know, weddings, royal weddings. I remember the wedding of Prince Charles and Princess Diana. Diana's train was roughly 26 feet long, and it filled the hall of St. Paul's Cathedral, was it, where they got married? It filled quite a lot of that. And the carriage, where they were before she got out the carriage, a lot of the carriage was filled with that train. But here we're talking about the temple. We're talking about the holy temple. And the holy temple has the same measurements of the earthly one. It has the same measurements. And we're told the train filled the temple. Imagine how big that train would have been. And train, this speaks of glory. It speaks of the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what it speaks of. And in verse 2, we're told about the worship that the angels gave unto him. And I look at my own worship, and I see that I'm not worthy. And that's just looking at the angels and their worship to Christ Jesus. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Those are the wings of the angel worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3, which has got to be one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible. And it's definitely one of my favourite verses. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth shall be full of his glory. No, the whole earth is full of his glory. That's what it says, not shall. Shall is futuristic. Is present tense. The glory of Jesus Christ. We just need to look at one more thing now. And we're going to look at one of the theophanies, the angel of the Lord. Genesis 18. And I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about now. When the Lord went down to visit Abraham. Genesis 18. I'm just going to read the first three verses for the sake of time. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servants. Abraham knew who these were straight away. In heaven, we will know everybody by name. So maybe something like that happened with Abraham there. He wanted the Lord to stay with him, didn't he? He wanted the Lord's company. He wanted the Lord's presence. Is that truly happening with the likes of you and I? Do we want the Lord's company? Do we want the Lord's presence? For if we draw nigh to the Lord, he will draw nigh unto us. The Word of God tells us that. And there's no lies in the Word of God. It is all truth. From the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation, it is all truth, God's truth. It is history. And that word history comes from the Bible, his story. It is God's story, God's word. Has God shown himself to you? Has God shown himself to me? He may not have done it physically, in the same way Jesus showed himself to those two disciples who had possibly lost their faith and were on the road to Emmaus. When Jesus showed himself to them and started talking to them, I believe there Jesus Christ gave them the greatest sermon that was ever told by anyone. He told them the things concerning himself. Wow. And Jesus had been through it all. He'd been on the cross. He'd been raised from the tomb on the third day, according to the scriptures. And the Bible is all about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I hope and I pray that I have shown that this evening. We believe in a good God. We believe in a merciful God. If you're in here this evening and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you can have a word with me, you can have a word with Paul, and we can lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of ourselves, but from the holy word of God. From God's word. It is the means of salvation. Christ Jesus is the only means of salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is our faith tonight in the music, the pop stars, the rock stars? Is our faith tonight in the football, the boxing, the sports? Is our faith tonight in the material things, because we want to look good in front of other people? Or is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, almighty God, we thank thee for the wonderful truths of your wonderful word. And we thank thee, Father God, for the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, left his heavenly glory to come down here and live that life of humility, to save sinners, to save rebels such as us few gathered in here this evening. We were once rebels, we were once rebellious in your sight, Lord, but we have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father in heaven, gracious God, enable us to show these truths to the people on the streets, out in the world. Gracious God, Father in heaven, be about us now for good. Help us in this coming week and bring us back safely into your house next Sunday morning, next Sunday evening. In God's precious name, the precious name of your wonderful Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, especially the name of your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.